question every generation asks itself. And I think, you know, the world is changing. I think social media and technology have allowed different types of people to play leadership roles that maybe historically didn't have quite the same opportunities. And someone like myself who grew up, you know, skinny and thick glasses and had acne from when I was like 11 years old, you know, no one who I grew up with would ever have thought that I'd be a city council person, let alone a mayor, let alone a governor. And I think that, you know, that sense that the nerds can arise and take an active part in solving the major challenges that society faces, I think that should be inspiring.
Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to the New Cyber Frontier, and today's guest needs no introduction. We have the governor of the great state of Colorado, John Hickenlooper. John, thanks for joining today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we are definitely delighted to have you, and since we're about the cybersecurity effort in Colorado and cybersecurity in general, a lot of experts we bring in to talk, but I've heard you speak now twice at different events, and was very interested in how this all started to, you know, try to get an economic development effort here in Colorado to build around cybersecurity. So we wanted to bring you in to give your story. So right. First of all, thanks for doing that, and tell us about yourself and how you got to be governor, first of all. I'm always interested in officials and how they, you know, did you always want to be governor?
No, I never wanted to be governor. I never ran for student council or class president or anything. I was, you know, I had thick glasses and acne. I was a skinny kid. So if you'd asked in high school or college who was the least likely ever to hold elected office, I would be the least likely. So I was an entrepreneur. I started out as a geologist and I opened a bunch of restaurants. So I'm the first governor that we can find in the history of the country that was a practicing geologist before becoming governor. And I mean, I'm fascinated by the interface of, you know, our natural world and then mankind's activities. And climate change is what everyone's talking about, but it's also how do we get enough industrial materials to build machines and make roads and, you know, create this modern, I mean, it's almost a miracle that what we've created in our environments. I mean, how do we make sure we keep doing that in such a way that we don't create pollution, we don't, you know, put our species out of business?
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
In high school or college, who was the least likely ever to hold elected office? I would be the least likely. So I was an entrepreneur. I started out as a geologist and I opened a bunch of restaurants. And then basically people were so angry at all the elected officials. And I kept saying, but this is America. They are us. Mm-hmm. If we don't like them, we should vote them out and take someone from business and put them in. And all my customers kept saying, well, then you do it if you think it's such a good idea. So I did.
So you opened your mouth and this is what follows?
8 years as mayor and now 5.5 years as governor. But you know, if you're a bit of a do-gooder, And you have some real business experience, small business experience. I think you can make a big difference. I think there's a lack of people from a business background in government, mm-hmm. and that we should be trying to get more people from business into government. Maybe not necessarily Donald Trump, if you'll forgive me a partisan statement, but I think there's an appetite for more, you know, just kind of the lessons of small business.
Okay. Well, I'm not a political person, nor am I going to kind of comment on either side of that election thing going on, but I am interested and very passionate about cybersecurity, and have been interviewing a lot of the founding members of the cybersecurity effort here in Colorado, and we wanted to hear from you about how this all started. So what can you tell us about, you know, your story about how you started or came to wanting to start this cybersecurity effort in Colorado?
Sure. And I mean, if you come from a business perspective, as you grow a business, you're always looking for what assets you have that maybe aren't being fully utilized. Mm-hmm. How can you get more benefit? And I was aware that we had a strong cybersecurity base down in Colorado Springs. I didn't realize how strong it was. I didn't realize that Spacecom had such significant responsibility for cybersecurity in the military. And because of that, we had, you know, over 80 private cybersecurity companies in just the Colorado Springs area alone. That's a huge concentration. So I looked at that, and we went on an economic development trip to Japan, China, Turkey, and Israel. And mm-hmm. in both China and Israel, we scheduled whole days to look at cybersecurity and how Israel approached it, how China approached it, you know, what their strengths and weaknesses were. And while we were on that trip, it occurred to me I had learned so much in the last couple of years, and yet most other governors, most mayors really aren't up to speed on how many risks and, you know, how serious those risks are around cybersecurity. And it occurred to me that what we really needed was a cybersecurity center that would provide elected officials, mayors, governors, county commissioners, allow them to have high quality, very tightly curated curriculum on, you know, how can they, I mean, again, they don't need to write code, but they need to know how to make decisions and allocate resources around where we protect ourselves in the public sector. Think about dams or the grid. You go down our transportation infrastructure. Mm-hmm. All these things are increasingly more and more vulnerable to cyber attacks. And I thought, well, we could do this in Colorado Springs. It'd be perfect. It turns out there's a big, beautiful old building down there that the University of Colorado Springs already owned. And I didn't realize how, you know, UCCS was already one of the national leaders, one of the top five or six universities in the country around cybersecurity. So it just made sense that we said, all right, now if we're going to do a cybersecurity center, what else do we want to have there? We'll have this training facility for elected officials, local elected officials. But then we'll also have, we're going to go ahead and look at this and see if we can create kind of a rapid response opportunity for private sector companies that have been hacked, mm-hmm. And that they have been in some way penetrated, and who knows how much of their intellectual property has been stolen or damaged. There's no real easy place to send them right now. There's certainly no government entity, and we're trying to figure out how to make that part of what this does and have it almost function like a cooperative. Mm-hmm. That we take each of the best tech companies we've got in Colorado, they all have incredibly talented cybersecurity teams, have them rotate through, and by working together, give the whole state a strength and a defensive capability that otherwise wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then if you do those two things, you're going to have the kind of the training center, and you're also going to have all this this rapid response, a lot of the top corporate people connected to your center. That just makes sense to tie it to the university and make sure it becomes a part of the research that's going on in cybersecurity, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. So those are the three main components of the National Cybersecurity Center.
Okay. So now I've heard you talk about Israel before, but not China. What did you see when you contrasted what you saw in Israel and China that made you decide?
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Since the year 2000, Bocor has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many Front Range customers in both government and commercial industries. Right now, Bocor is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering comprehensive salaries, competitive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you, and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the Bocor team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's Bocor.com, B-O-E-C-O-R-E.com.
What did you see when you contrasted what you saw in Israel and China that made you decide what to do here?
China is the Wild West, mm-hmm. and it is, when you go there, if you take your normal cell phone, right, your handheld device, they'll almost certainly, someone will get into it while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, almost certainly. You can't use any of their Wi-Fis, because once you use one of their Wi-Fis, they use it to get into your machine. We went and visited in China a company called Huawei, and they are one of the largest technology companies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they are also very, very skilled in cybersecurity, and that can work both ways. It can be great as, you know, you hire them to help defend your company from attacks, but, you know, they also have the resources that if it fell in the wrong hands, they could be very successful creators of attacks.
So we're not sure if they're pirates or privateers? Is that what
exactly.
we're saying?
Exactly. Well, I think they are more defensive. I mean, they're a huge company now, so they are, I mean, they're far beyond just doing cyber.
Uh-huh.
But it's a competency that they have.
Was there a government aspect to either of those where the government was really involved heavily with seeding those efforts, or were they just companies that kind of grew?
Well, not the cyber, but certainly, you know, Huawei had strong government relationships when it, in its early years, and I'm sure still does.
Mm-hmm.
Israel, I thought, was notable because they have probably the greatest ecosystem, collaborative ecosystem, of having the top university talent,
mm-hmm.
With the top government talent, with the top business talent. And all, I mean, everyone in Israel has to do military service. Everybody does a couple years of military service. So the people that gravitated towards cyber in their military service kind of come out and they start studying it, and they work at the universities, do research, grad programs, but they also end up in business.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this very close, almost everyone who's in the private sector doing cybersecurity in Israel has spent some time in the military and has spent some time teaching at the university. I mean, the systems are so well integrated, and I was really impressed at how much more efficient that would make the overall ecosystem.
Yeah. Was that by design, or that just kind of naturally helped?
No, I think it's by
culture?
Design. I think by design. Huh? I mean, they've got the benefit of having, you know, everybody doing military service.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go down to Colorado Springs and you look at who's in what the workforce in cybersecurity looks like, even in Denver, it's a high proportion of military personnel.
Mm-hmm. So you think that the military focus is of, you know, utmost importance when you come to where we decided. I mean, I've talked to some people in Denver, and there's a lot of industry focus with cyber in Denver, but Colorado Springs is more military. Was that the main key deciding point, or?
Well, I don't think, Colorado Springs has a much more private businesses doing cybersecurity than Denver does.
Okay.
I mean, their cyber there, again, it all springs out of the military, but they're taking the tools and the concepts that they develop in the military and then giving them application in the private sector, which is really the way it should be, right? The military mm-hmm. are the ones that have the greatest at risk. They have a checkbook that's prodigious. So they're going to go out and they're going to be the ones that are coming up with the best strategies, the best tactics to fight back against cybersecurity. We want to get those out in the private sector as quickly as we can.
Okay. So I guess coming to there, what would be, I mean, you said you were a restaurant owner before. You don't have a technical background. What is your definition of cybersecurity?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a wordsmith. when I think of cybersecurity, I think of the ability to safeguard the data and communication bits, or I mean the communication mm-hmm. information from people that would want to either take our private property or do us harm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, unfortunately, there's no shortage of enemies, both on the sides of who want to scam us and take, you know, get us to take to give them our money, and others who I think generally, at some point, would consider causing us harm.
Yeah.
Right? They'd want to see our grid go down, or our, you know, our water system be polluted.
And that's the reason why I ask, because I have a background in more industrial controls and utilities in cybersecurity. But I hear so much with this effort talking about the government and what is more on the side of information security, protecting data. Because things out on the grid are a little bit different, where there are thousands of machines unmanned by people, and we have to have availability and trust for those devices. But you know, in the government, more of information security, we're looking at protecting information, data, which a lot of what I heard. But it's good that, and I'm looking at, you know, how much of a balance is there in this effort for critical infrastructure versus, you know, military-focused traditional data.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org. Since the year 2000, BOCOR has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many Front Range customers in both government and commercial industries. Right now, BOCOR is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering comprehensive salaries, competitive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you, and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the BOCOR team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's BOCOR.com, BOECORE.com.
Both. I mean, there's a whole raft of companies out there working on what they call critical infrastructure, right? But there's also probably a much larger cohort of people that are, you know, trying to protect people's banking access and, you know, their credit records, their healthcare mm-hmm. history, that kind of stuff. You know, there are huge black markets. When that stuff gets pulled out of somebody's database, it gets sold on the internet in the mm-hmm. black market.
Okay. So what can we do as a state, as a local government or whatever? What are we doing to start this and spur this? I mean, we know about the build a facility down there. What other things are planned? What lies in store that we can see coming around?
Well, we're writing grants and raising money, obviously, because if you're going to ride the train, you got to pay the conductor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that process of really getting it up and getting some momentum is really just beginning to get full steam. Mm-hmm. And I've got a great sense of urgency about it. You know, I keep saying, we should have done that last month. We should have done that last month. We've got to go faster.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting there. You look for an organization that didn't exist 5 months ago, we are reaching escape velocity very quickly.
Yeah. So I know the building is more of, you know, right now doing the real estate, the facility to hold everything. What are you looking at as far as funding technical programs that are starting to work on cybersecurity? You have anything like that that's already been in the works?
Well, we're not a private business, right? So that's what a private business would do, right? They would be out there taking the techniques that'll work on cybersecurity and selling it to the business world.
Mm-hmm.
We're really a convener. So our job is to bring all those different creators of cybersecurity tools and allowing them to have a free marketplace where elected officials can come and kind of see who does what.
Okay. So as far as the convening then, that's in the eyes of what you're working on, that's a facility. What else does that include that you would fund from the state level for a convening?
Well, I think that's the big part. I mean, I think that trying to make sure that mayors and governors and county commissioners, even city council people, really can understand what how great the cybersecurity risk is, and that how the ecosystem is tremendously vulnerable. So that's a first role, is just make sure public officials know what they're up against. Then the second role is making sure that the private sector companies that maybe aren't cybersecurity companies but really need to protect their intellectual property, that we're giving them maximum opportunity to work together and save money by having kind of sharing their resources to make sure they're on the cutting edge of being able to push back on these cyber attacks.
Okay. So what do you see as success for this effort?
Oh, I want to grow. I want to see it. I'd like to see our level of cybersecurity businesses and employees grow every year by 20%, let's say. I mean, a good, big, let's be ambitious. It's a new economy.
And a lot of what's going to be needed is things like investors, investment communities, a lot of new startups type of thing. How do you see growing that kind of environment like they might have in San Jose where, the investor community is willing to put money into cybersecurity as a whole? Do you have anything that you're doing to help spur that?
Well, we think that will happen down at the center, that just by osmosis, when you have that much research going on somewhere so close to a military, a center of the military cybersecurity, it's almost automatic you're going to have venture capital and people making investments to kind of get those businesses started.
Mm-hmm. So you don't see that there's any thing that you're doing to attract that, or just let it grow kind of organically?
No, creating the center is that you're going to attract that. That's why when you convene all those people, the people that want to invest money are going to follow them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you see all the players involved, the universities, the companies, the National Cyber Center? How do you see everybody working together?
Sitting at a table.
Sitting at a table.
Just like everybody always has. And you go around the table and you come in with an agenda and you say, all right, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to do A, B, and C. And you work through them. And hopefully, if you get the right people around the table, you'll come out with some pretty strong, some strong programs.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you see as far as if we're, anything you need help with that you want to put a message out? Say, hey, this is something we need from the public. This is something we need from companies. This is something we need from universities.
We just want to increase the awareness first. In all companies in Colorado, we want them to understand that cybersecurity should be one of their top priorities. It's not going to go away. We're not going to suddenly win the battle. It's going to be with us. So we want to get that awareness out. And any way you can help pass along that awareness would be very helpful. Okay. I think we also want to make sure that, that the private sector recognizes that we have a lot of the cyber talent or cybersecurity talent in Colorado, and that they don't have to go to New York or LA for their, or Chicago for their cybersecurity, consultants.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thank you for joining today. I think I went through all the things I was thinking of. Is there anything else that you can think of related to this effort that you want to get out to the general public?
No, I think it's good. I enjoyed it immensely.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today. And it's always an honor. We respect your opinion, obviously. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Thank you.
All right.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.
I think that the big challenge going down the road is, as innovation and technology keeps evolving faster and faster, how do we